The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the programme at 9 minutes past 10. Just to remind you that Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh will be joining us very shortly with the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Síochána, which you can hear first every Tuesday, of course, on Highland Radio. Some comments just as we head towards the break. Understandable that Donegal have households without a TV licence. We have the worst Seaview signal in all of the 32 counties, on a par with East Antrim for signal black spots. My area has no Seaview service but has a 2RN RTE mast built with licence fee, but it's leased entirely to commercial mobile phone companies with no Seaview transmitter installed. Hi Greg, can you ask a councillor or someone from the HSC why the day centre for older people, the dental clinic, it had been in the St Joseph's for over 50 years, and Shropity Clinic, these three services have not come back since COVID. I will certainly make an inquiry on your behalf. Occasionally I have a coffee with my food in McDonald's. I have to use 6 tiny packs of milk to cool the coffee. There's approximately a teaspoon of milk in each container. I don't understand why McDonald's use such tiny packs. If there were 3 times the amount of milk in the plastic wrappers, it would reduce the plastic waste considerably. The current status is environmentally damaging. A random one. We get those too. Someone's noticed that they're in McDonald's. They're wondering, why are these sachets so small? Okay. Back to St. Joseph's. The situation in St. Joseph's that there was always 6 beds available for respite, but respite or step down. The HSE have ordered St. Joseph's that 2 are being kept for respite and 4 for step down from Letterkenny Hospital for the foreseeable future. I disagree that this is fair or a good use of beds. Thank you for that. The civil amenities site in Letterkenny for recycling is only open on a Thursday. Only electronics are free. In Strabane, you can take in a large van and everything is free. They are also open 6 days a week. In Letterkenny, I have to pay waiting to get rid of it. That's free, though, isn't it, on Thursdays? There are various recycling centres that are open at different stages. I mean, you can... Your cardboard's free, isn't it? Paper stuff is free. Clothes are free. Clothing materials, I thought... But the caller says that general waste, obviously there's going to be a charge. It is a different structure in the north because you do pay rates which do contribute to things such as the access to the dump. On Tuesday, I can read this one. I just want to double check that. On Tuesday night, I was coming home via Garton and 3 young fellas were firing fireworks at cars. They went in front of my car in a quad and stopped, so I had to stop. They threw the firework under the car. When it exploded, it scared the life out of me. Now, when I think if the damage they could have caused, I shudder. Wow, that's very troubling, very worrying. If you have any more information on that, please let us know. And now it's time for Community Garda information, and we welcome into studio Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, attached to the Letterkenny Garda Station. Of course, Eunan, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. How's things today?
Things are okay. Thanks very much, Eunan. We'll start with an appeal in relation to the awful tragedy in Inishowen, which we were talking about a little earlier on today, Eunan.
Yes, Greg. Gardaí from Uncranna and the emergency services attended a fatal road traffic collision on Sunday night, Monday the morning there, the 6th of November, at approximately 12:30 a.m. on the R238 at Turowee, Glenynny. Sadly, 2 occupants, it was a 1 vehicle collision, Greg, and sadly, 2 occupants of the vehicle were pronounced deceased at the scene and have been named as Anna Harkin and Thomas Scholar, both 18 years of age. And our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the 2 young people and their friends and their loved ones. The 3rd occupant of the car, a male in his late teens, was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to be treated for injuries which are non-life-threatening. So Gardaí and Uncranna are appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the collision to contact them. Again, any road users who were travelling on the R238 in the early hours of Monday morning between midnight and 1 a.m. and who have dash cam footage, were asking to make it available to the Gardaí and Uncranna. And again, anybody who may have information in relation to collision is asked to contact Garda Station at Uncranna 07493 205 40. That's 07493 205 40. Or again, the confidential line 1-800-666-111, or indeed any Garda Station, Greg.
Yeah, and of course, as we've mentioned before, the Gardaí will look after downloading and finding the relevant parts of that camera footage. The public just have to make it available to them. Now, your colleagues in Ballyshannon investigating a road traffic collision.
Yes, this is a collision which occurred last Friday night, Saturday morning, the 4th of November, shortly after 1 a.m. on the N3 at Temple New Ballyshannon. So that's the Ballyshannon Balik Road. The collision involved two pedestrians and a vehicle. Again, the vehicle was travelling from the Ballyshannon in direction of Balik at the time of the collision, as were the pedestrians. Both pedestrians were taken to hospital to receive treatment for the injuries sustained, and the driver of the vehicle was not injured. So Gardaí and Ballyshannon are appealing to anybody who may have travelled along this stretch of road between 12:30 a.m. and 1:15 a.m. That's last Saturday morning, the 4th of November. And again, anybody who has dash cam, to make it available to us. And again, if anybody has relevant information to the collision, they should contact Ballyshannon Garda Station 07198 excuse me, 58530, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Okay, now a burglary on the Pearse Road's being investigated.
Yes, this is a burglary which occurred in the early hours of this morning, Greg. It happened on a business premises on the Pearse Road, Tuesday the 7th of November. So the alarm was activated and the Gardaí were alerted to the fact that a burglary was in progress shortly before 6:20 a.m. So that's about 4 hours ago. Gardaí attended the scene, but nobody present. The glass in the front door of the premises had been smashed to gain entry and some damage has been caused within. Again, this investigation is at an early stage and we are in the process of establishing whether or not anything was stolen during the course of the burglary. So at this stage, we're appealing to anybody who was in the area at the time, the Pearse Road area this morning around 5:45 a.m. to 6:45 a.m. and it was dash cam footage to make it available. And again, the premises in question is situated, Greg, on the Pearse Road near to the entrance of the Oliver Plunkett Road. And again, anybody travelling in that area this morning and you noticed any suspicious activity or saw anybody in the area at the time, to make contact with us at Letterkenny 07491 67100, or again the confidential line.
The next appeal is in relation to a worrying incident in Donegal Town.
Yes, this is a criminal damage by fire incident, Greg, which happened in the Milltown area of Donegal Town last Tuesday, so a week ago today, at approximately 8:45 p.m. on the 31st. Gardaí were alerted to the fact that a derelict factory was on fire at the location, and the fire services attended the scene and extinguished the fire, but there was extensive damage caused to the interior of the building. And again, we believe the fire may have started between 8 p.m. and 8:45 p.m. and at this stage, we believe it was started maliciously. So again, anybody who was in the area at the time and who was dash cam, to make it available to Gardaí at Ballyshannon, or anybody who has information, to contact Ballyshannon Garda Station 07198 58530.
All right, two instances of criminal damage either end of the county. We'll start in Bundoran at Church Road.
Yes, this is damage to a car in the middle of the day, actually, in Bundoran on Church Road last Tuesday the 31st between 9 a.m. and midday. So a female person had parked a car in the car park at the area and returned that the rear passenger window had been smashed. Fortunately, nothing had been taken from the car. And again, anybody who may have dash cam or anybody who have any information, to contact Ballyshannon Garda Station 07198 58530.
And in Carn Donagh?
Yes, this is an incident which happened last Tuesday night the 31st, Halloween night. The people involved may have seen it as some sort of a prank, but that's not how it's been looked at by the injured parties and by the Gardaí. So two males entered the rear garden at an address at Chapel Street, Carn Donagh, and they caused significant damage while there. They took a number of flower pots and two bins with them when they were leaving. One of the bins was recovered at Church Dance Quarters, Carn Donagh, but none of the other property has been recovered. Again, so that's last Tuesday night in Carn Donagh, Chapel Street. Appealing for anybody who travelled in the areas of Chapel Street or Church Dance Quarters, and again, who has dash cam, to make it available, and to contact anybody who may have information, to contact Gardaí in Buncrana 07493 205 40.
Interesting events taking place. Fraud talks at secondary school. I think this is really proactive, particularly in relation to money laundering, because it's often students when they head off to college that can find themselves getting involved in this really serious activity. So sort of starting early, I suppose, Eunan.
Yes, we have a Detective Garda, Jerry McCready. He's our fraud expert, and he's in the process of giving a number of fraud prevention talks at secondary schools. He's already called to do a number of these recently, and they're going down very well, as you say, Greg. The topics he's discovering are money muling and money laundering, which are very relevant at the minute. Money muling is, again, quite prevalent in the area. Previously, it was third-level students we would find who had been targeted, but now that has changed into second-level students.
Right.
So maybe somebody heading off to college or studying to have some money to save for college, whatever, or save for the summertime. the temptation is there. So anybody who wants to talk from Detective Garda MacCready, if you contact the station at Letterkenny 07491 67100 and leave a message from there.
Because on the face of it, it seems like easy money. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the money muling, money laundering, you might not be aware of the consequences. But as has been said before, ignorance isn't a defence in these matters. It's treated very, very seriously. So, you know, whether it's taught in school or not, a good idea for parents, grandparents, just to mention this to the young people.
Yes, well, you see, you could receive this money innocently, thinking that you're just holding it for somebody for a temporary period. And again, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. You know, even if the money is not, even if the money mules are not involved in the crimes which generate the money, they are always acting illegally, but laundering the proceeds of crime, helping criminal syndicates move funds easily around the world and remain anonymous.
So. All right, okay. Now, great news from the Garda Youth Award winners from a Donegal perspective, Eunan.
Yes, we had two winners at national level. Four categories overall award was presented, and the winners from the four categories were then put forward to represent the Donegal division. We're delighted to hear that two of the category winners from the Donegal division also won at national level. They travelled to Portlaoise last Saturday there. I saw the lovely photographs, and they presented with their national awards. The students from Mulroy College, Milford, won a national award in the special recognition category for all the work that they've done in helping the people's the victims of the Chrysler tragedy. And Adam Locke won a national award in the individual category. I think Adam has set up a coaching academy in his school in Glenties. So they're winning everything in football. So I hope this isn't the start of
Well, I'll tell rugby. You, we were chatting to him yesterday, and if he's got anything to do with it, we'll have a few people from our area lining up for Ireland in the not too distant
Good.
Future.
Well done to all the winners.
It's and again, fantastic, it really is.
We hope they had an enjoyable day.
Yeah, and we always do really well, and rightly so. Two remarkable, an individual and a group of individuals, very worthy of their recognition there on a national stage, which is great. Can you ask Sergeant Walsh, do the cycling lanes, this is in Letterkenny, from Clanry to Polestar, is it the law to use them? As I've noticed, a lot of cyclists are not using them, causing some cars to be held back. And I've spoken to members of cycling clubs before, and I put the question to them about, say, for instance, the cycle lanes available just close to where we are now, but they prefer to use the road because the bikes, they believe, aren't well suited to the cycle lanes. So is there any obligation on cyclists, whether they're casual cyclists or dressed up like they're in the Tour de France, is there any obligation on them to use cycle lanes?
Well, it depends on the circumstances, Greg. I think in general, a cycle lane or track is part of the road or footway, which is provided primarily for the use of pedal cyclists. And pedal cyclists are advised to use these tracks whenever they are provided. So there are two circumstances where they must use the cycle track or lane. One is you'll see them in urban areas, cycle tracks in pedestrian areas, like busy streets, pedestrian streets, where they must use. And again, you see contra-flow lanes where cyclists are cycling against pedestrians or traffic. Those are the two circumstances where cyclists are obliged by law to use the cycle lanes. In the normal run of the cycle lanes, we advise them to use it, but it's not obligatory.
Right, okay. But, I mean, if it's safe to do so, use them, I would suggest.
Well, I think the new four-lane, it's newly, freshly tracked, so I can see how it couldn't be safe, you know.
Well, we shall see. Can you ask the Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, if construction companies can close road lanes whenever they like? Last Friday at 1 p.m, I was driving on a road and it was closed. Noticed not many vehicles moving on with green lights. On passing the Polestar, the road was coned to one lane. The dual carriageway was also coned to one lane each way for tree cutting. This on a bank holiday Friday. It seemed ridiculous to me. Thanks, Daniel. Now, I presume they're talking about the ongoing work to build the Great Wall of Letterkenny there along the along the sides of the four lanes.
You're good.
And of course, they were cutting trees on the central medium, I think it is called, is it, on the dual carriageway. But are they not given a general pass to facilitate works to close
story? I don't think general pass is the words they would be using. But I suppose we start with a simple thing. The official road closures for events like the rally coming to my head, the Christmas tree lights, Paddy's Day, they all have been done officially through under the Road Traffic Acts.
Okay.
So they apply to the Donegal County Council for the road closure. It's advertised in the paper. People are in good time for people to object or give their views. It comes to us as well for our views. That's where the plan, you know, where you can plan for events. Mm-hmm. And I think for maybe what we're talking about here is maybe urgent roadworks that are needed where you wouldn't have the time under the legislation to get the ads in the paper. So the person who proposes to close the road must contact the engineers in Donegal County Council. They submit a traffic management plan to the council and they either allow it happen or don't. And generally they would contact us as well to say that, you know, that the dual carriage is going to be closed between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. on whatever nights of the week, just for our views and observation to let us know that it's happening. So generally, you can't just come along and put up a traffic light and close the road without permission from Donegal County Council.
Yeah. And in this case, we can only presume that they did do that.
Yes. Well, I was aware of the road closure on the dual carriage. I did see an email on that, and I also received numerous emails on temporary road closures on the four lane. You know,
okay.
And it's all meant to be at non-peak times where it won't have as much impact on traffic that if you're closing the road at 9 o'clock or 8:30 or
I get you.
Things like that.
All right, listen, brilliant stuff. Thanks very much for that. Garda Sergeant Eoin Walsh, a pleasure to have you in as always. So we look forward to seeing you again. Community Garda information. It'll be available for you to listen back on our podcast, watch back on our social media and on Garda Síochána Síochána social media a little later on, and back live with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. So what's your situation? It's your daughter's situation that will sort of help us with this, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, she's qualified for the past 3 years and to get employment is nearly impossible. Like, all I hear, they're talking on the radio, there's loads of jobs for teachers, there's loads of jobs. Every time I hear it, I go mad. There is no loads of jobs where we are. If you go to Dublin, you'll get a job, no bother. But the cost overcomes the profit. Like, to stay in Dublin, one of her friends headed off because she couldn't get a job around here. But she's making nothing. She's not even covering her rent.
Yeah, she's working to stand still.
Travel down. She's working for nothing. You'd be as well sitting at home, getting unemployment money. You'd be better off.
So your daughter has looked into it herself and through her friends, and taking up some of these jobs that are available in Dublin, for example, would be completely pointless. She would be going down there effectively to work for nothing.
Exactly what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
There would be no money in it. Try to save to build a house. Like, turning 24, 25, that's the time where you want the job. All the talk before it was there's loads of jobs for teachers, there's loads. There's nothing where we are.
Yeah.
They might get a maternity leave, they might get, but sure, there's no holiday pay, nothing. You have to sign on in the summer. Holidays, Christmas holidays, that there. There's nothing.
And of course, as well, if you were looking to save to build a house or to have some sort of a, you know, you can't display that as your employment for a mortgage, for an example, or even for a loan.
Well, you can't get a mortgage.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got a job.
So, but she is she is working, but it's ad hoc.
She's working, but there's nothing secure about it. Like, if the person comes back tomorrow, you know, she's out on the street. Like, it's just, you know, she's falling in for somebody that's off for a while.
We heard a listener earlier say teaching's a cushy number now compared to the way it used to be. Is that what you hear? Is that the experience in your family?
Oh, my God. Definitely not. She is teaching 30 children, 15 senior, 15 junior infants. And a classroom with no help. 30 children between 4 and 6 years of age.
And what's...
Like, tell me that's a cushy job.
No. What's keeping her here, Diane? Because, you know, they'd move heaven and earth to get her to England or to Australia or to Dubai or another country out in that part of the world. Like, does she talk to you about saying, stuff it, I'm going to have to do something like that?
Well, she keeps saying, I'll have to move. If I don't get a permanent job, there's no future here. There's no how could you save? I'll have to go for so many years. But at the end of the day, she's a home bird. She loves going home.
I get you. Like, yeah. Indeed.
You know.
Yeah. So, and you don't want to hear that yourself either. It's your daughter, you know.
No. Yeah. Well, sure, that's it. You qualify. you spend 4 years in Dublin, four tough years of college, away from home. Not easy, no money, because everything to go on to do college level.
Yes.
It should cost you a fortune.
Okay.
You know, and then to turn around and there's no job guaranteed out of it.
All right, listen, I wish it were different. Deanne, thanks for helping us understand. Have a lovely day and best wishes to your daughter and the rest of the family. Right. Thank you very much indeed. Right, we are joined on the programme now by Derry filmmaker Margot Harkin. Good morning, Margot.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
It's great to have you on the programme. I'm good, thank you. Right, now, you have seen the release of an insightful and heartfelt documentary called Stolen. It released received a cinematic release there on Friday. Tell us a little bit about the film, Margot, and how you got involved in the project.
Well, the project is not something that I got involved in. It's a project that I devised in 2017 after Catherine Sapone stated in the Doyle that significant amount of human remains have been found in the site of the former mother and baby home in Tuam, which is now a playground. And they'd done a preliminary examination because Catherine Corliss, the local historian, believed that children had been buried there. She discovered that 796 babies died at the home, but could find no evidence of their burial records, which is a legal requirement. And so that's really how mostly the public knows about this story. But in fact, we went on a journey which involved a lot of research. And I when I say me, I'm talking about our co-producers, Wildfire Films in Dublin and my own company, Buzzin Productions in Derry. And we discovered that not only Tuam, but other homes throughout the country had many, many children who disappeared, or not who disappeared, who died, and there were no burial records, and we still don't know where the remains are. So that was the start of it, really, you know.
A lot of people, obviously, are familiar with the mother and baby homes story, but do you think maybe many of us aren't really, or don't have a real grasp of how these the system operated, the actual full role of the Catholic Church played in or at least facilitated this stuff happening? Is it important, do you think, that people watch this to get an understanding of the whole situation?
Well, I would never force people to watch anything.
No, I never said you would, Margot. Yeah, yeah. I said, do you think it would be useful?
Yes. Well, the thing is, I think most people, they know the basics of the story. They know all the, you know, the gory headlines like 797 babies found in a septic tank in Tuam. They weren't actually in a septic tank. They were in a sewage works underground. And, you know, a septic tank, we imagine slurry and babies swilling around in it, but that's not exactly what happened. But yeah, I think we all have followed the story to an extent. And read some of the newspaper stories about it. But this is like a direct feed to the witnesses, the people who experienced in different ways the effects of being placed in mother and baby homes over decades, you know, from 1922 onwards up to 1998, this was happening. And there were homes all over the country, in the south and in the north. In the north, it wasn't just Catholic or the church organisations. There were state homes and Protestant homes of different denominations within the Protestant churches. And it affected practically everybody I've spoken to, you know, since I started making this, tells me that they know somebody or other who had an experience in some way. They were connected in some way to somebody who went through this experience. But you don't actually know it till you hear the witnesses speak. You can't beat that, you know, hearing people talk about their experiences. So that's why I think, yes, it's worth seeing. And it's been getting the most stunning reviews. I've never had reviews like it in my life, which is good because, you know, most people don't want to look at this story, but actually the reviews are saying this is highly watchable. And, you know, it's something that everyone really should watch if they can.
Yeah, indeed. And also to, you know what, I mean, yes, it started in 1922 circa, but this is part of our recent history as well, relatively recent history as well.
Yeah, well, the thing is, a lot of the survivors are still here. They're elderly now, many of them. And this was like, for me, an opportunity to catch them, catch their voices, catch their evidence, before they passed on. We're all getting older, and most people, a lot of them are in their late 60s or 70s. Many of them have died already. It is very recent, but people are still with us. So that this is why we made it, to let us hear what they have to say.
And how important is it that story is heard, that their voices are heard?
Well, I think it gives us an insight into how we were. You know, as I say at the start of the film, I love this country. Mm. I can't explain how much I love it. I love Ireland. I love its people. I love everything about it. I love our arts and our literature. But these things were going on, and it's hard to imagine that they were going on under our noses and we didn't know the extent of it. So, I think it is useful for people to get the full story. I mean, the film only scratches the surface because there were thousands of people affected like this. So it's a representative sample, but it's enough to let you know what actually went on. And it's important to know about what you let happen in your own name, and to try and make sure it never happens again, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And but then you see other things happening right now, and you just wonder, and not necessarily maybe to the same extent, but you see things happening right now, and you wonder if in, you know, decades, once they have lapsed, if you look back and we're living in scandals that we should be doing more about right now, if that makes sense. A bit convoluted.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the stuff going on now that is...
You're talking about Gaza, and yeah. I think what's happening at the moment is an outrage. But we're not here specifically to talk about that just now. But I take your point that, do we ever learn? And I would agree, you know, unless you actually get it into your mind what we've actually done and the effects on people. That's the important thing, is the effects on people and how it affected them down generations and blighted their lives. There's more chance, if you understand that, to make sure it doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. If you turn a blind eye, well, you know, you're not really playing your part as a citizen, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
No. Margot, how can people see the documentary?
It was released in selected cinemas. Mm-hmm. Last Friday, the 3rd of November. So it's on in various multiplexes around the country. It's on in Manor Point in Cork. It's on in Strand Road Omniplex in Derry. It's on in the Omniplex in Salt Hill in Galway. It's on in the Multiplex, Ritz Multiplex in Cookstown. It's on in the Palace in Galway. It's on in the Irish Film Institute in Dublin, and the Omniplex in Rathmines. And I think it's going to be extended into one of the cinemas in Westport as well this week. Excellent. And there may be a couple of extensions.
And obviously, Margot, it's very important that it gets its release in cinema and people have an opportunity to view it in that environment. But going forward, as often happens with things that are once in the cinema, has it been picked up yet? Or is that work ongoing by any of the streaming platforms or any of the terrestrial broadcasters?
Part of the conditions of our funding was that we had a broadcaster on board, and we do have RT on board, but that'll be down the line.
No problem. Yeah,
much later next year, and eventually it will be on streaming platforms. Yeah, but there's a whole kind of schedule with independent films. You start with cinema if you can get it, and then you move on to TV and streaming.
Okay, Margot, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on a really important piece of work. Thank you for your time, and have a lovely day.
You too.
Take care. That's director of that documentary, Stolen, Margot Harkin, 0860 25000. Perhaps you've had an opportunity to see that. Let us know what you think. Traffic lights at the Polestar. Jammed at the Dry Arch roundabout at 5 to 10. It's a disaster. People are saying give it time, it's going to work. I'm sitting here at the Dry Arch roundabout since 10 to 9 and I'm late for a meeting. I'm sorry to hear that. We were told that within a week it would be as bad as it was before. For those of you watching, actually, whilst we're talking, I'll play a little video that someone sent in of the traffic there. Quality's not fantastic. They're not going to win an Oscar for this, but just looking at the video, there is an awful lot of traffic backed up on the four lanes this morning waiting to get into Letterkenny. And on it goes and on it goes. Has it situation improved? I don't want to bore listeners generally speaking. You know, those of you who don't go to Letterkenny, aren't from Letterkenny, I can understand that Some of these conversations can be frustrating if they go on too long. But the bottom line is there's traffic this morning right out around the roundabout at the Clanree there. Loads of traffic trying to get in on that roundabout down from Lurgy Brack. And on it goes. Okay, not great at all. What has the traffic been like? Has it improved? We were told it should be as bad as it was before the lights went in, if not a little bit better. I'm still watching this traffic. It's backed up all the way up Lurgy Brack as well. My word. Okay. Not good if you were sitting in it. Someone sitting on the back of a bus set that into us. We do appreciate it. If you've any commentary on the traffic, please let us know. I feel very sorry for the poor man that lost the memorial of the grave just because he was an RUC man. People bend so low to steal stuff from graves. I would hate to see something lifted from graves here in Remelton. Re-Ukraine, the Ukrainian people are in a dire situation. We're a lot luckier here in this country and we need to be nicer to them. We don't realise how much we have. I think for the most part there is a very warm welcome from what I see anyway, and I'm open to correction on that, of course. Teachers and doctors. Teachers are all anyone talks about. Doctors and nurses work far harder. Years ago, they had bigger classes. They get some money holidays these days, but doctors and nurses work far harder. But why would we pitch doctors and nurses against teachers? I don't see any benefits or what that might achieve. They are groups of individuals that do important work, and presumably most people think they should all be appropriately rewarded for their efforts. What's John's view on the vile sexual education being taught and shown to mere children? Well, just double check what's being shown. Have you seen the documentation? Because I have. Yes, of course, Caroline, no problem. I'm trying to speak and you're speaking in my ear. Yes, of course I will. Have you actually gone through the documentation? I have. I don't see any vile sexual education being taught and shown to mere children. What I see, and I'm open to correction, and I'm open to correction again, and I'm sorry to repeat that phrase, what I see is information that I think would help prevent a child being abused, which is something that unfortunately too many children in this country have experienced and continue to experience. I've went through it all and I went through the different ages. I didn't see anything that I'd be concerned with my children seeing. I think it is quite well put together. But again, that's just a view, an honest view from me. Talk to me a little bit about the vile sexual education that is being shown to children. Get back in touch with us. I'm joined in studio by Patricia Lee. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi, Greg.
Thank you so much for calling up. And Patricia, of course, is a research officer and team lead with the Local Development Partnership. And Niamh Britton, Community Food and Nutrition Officer with Inishowen Development Partnership. Good morning to you too.
Hello, Greg. How are you? Thanks for having us here today.
No, it's great. It's great to have you in studio today. Right. And we're talking about a new and unique zero food waste initiative, which aims to eliminate household food waste for numerous families in Inishowen. Niamh, do you want to start with explaining how this might work?
Yeah, of course. So my job as community food nutrition worker, this is a new role that is funded by the Sláintecare Healthy Communities, by the HSE. And my role as a community food nutrition worker is to look at the issues of food insecurity and food waste in the Inishowen area. So food waste is a global issue and it has effects on the environment, social and economic consequences. So I started looking into food waste and what is the issue going on in Inishowen particularly. And food waste is a global issue, and one quarter of the food that's being produced globally is being wasted, which is such a high number, especially when we're looking at the whole issue of food insecurity and people not being able to afford food and people skipping meals and using food banks and things like that. So there has been research done by the Environmental Protection Agency and they have been researching the situation with food waste within Ireland. And the research has shown that around 750,000 tonnes of food waste is being produced in Ireland yearly, which is a massive amount of food waste. And most of this food waste is coming from households, with 29% coming from of the food being wasted in households, which is the highest number. And this is cost on households, even looking, delving deeper into the research, this is cost on households around €700 per year.
Yeah, it's really significant because, and also too, there's very few things that we can do that have an impact, right, but also impact us. I think the majority of people, most people listening to this program today, you know, we don't have money to burn, right?
Exactly,
so why
yeah.
would we waste food? And we'll talk a little bit about some of the measures that we can adopt that would limit food waste for a myriad of reasons. Patricia, what's the role of the local development partnership in this?
So in Inishowen, IDP is a local development company, and the HSE has approached us to host the Sláinte Care Healthy Communities in Inishowen. So two areas have been picked in County Donegal: Northwest Gaeltacht, which is being looked after by DLDC, and Inishowen. And so we offer a number of programmes under Sláinte Care. So the focus is very much early intervention and prevention. So there's smoking cessation, there's healthy food made easy, there's parenting supports, and then there's also social prescribing. And Niamh's role is very unique. We have two community food and nutrition officers in County Donegal, so one is employed by DLDC and one in Inishowen, and they work very collaboratively and also with Cavan. And I suppose the focus is very much around food poverty and food insecurity. So many households don't have a secure supply of food coming into their homes on a weekly basis. And so they're unsure of what they have available to them to cook healthy and nutritious meals for their families. Mm. And we feel that part of that equation is what's being wasted as well. I come from a family of leftover queens. My mother was my late mother. And leftovers are a real nutritious option for families. And so under the Healthy Food Made Easy and now this food waste, zero food waste kitchen approach, it's about supporting families and offering them training programs so that they can look at the options and stretch the food that bit further, but also take into consideration the whole climate conversation and what we are wasting and what can be reused and repurposed. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to focus on the work of the Zero Food Waste Kitchen, Niamh?
Yeah. So the program is designed, it's supposed to be a fun and interactive program, and it has a cookery element as well to the program. But I suppose it's over 4 weeks. Week one of the program is on how to manage food waste at home. So looking at different tips of like looking at food labels, how food should be stored correctly. Also,
I wonder if we polled listeners and they put their hand on the heart, would they be in an instant able to clearly differentiate between best before and used by?
Yeah, exactly. And that seems to be a big issue. And I get asked that question all the time. And people are also confused about, you know, whenever they have leftover food, can they eat it again? How should we reheat it?
This is really very, you're speaking to me here.
Yeah.
Cooked a ham, beautiful. Sliced it, had some of it, put it on a plate, put it in the fridge. How long can it be in the fridge for? I'm not asking you to necessarily answer that specifically. But then after 2 days or a day or something, I started becoming a little bit nervous about it.
Yeah.
It was cooked and it was in the fridge and it was on a plate and it was there was no raw food above it or whatever. But I started to get a bit nervous as to how will I know if there's anything growing on that?
Exactly. And that's the whole idea around the program, is to kind of educate people on how long food can be stored after it is heated, and how to quickly, when it cool it down, to put it in the fridge or freezer or whatever method that they're using to store the food afterwards. But also just using their own judgment to be able to smell, look at foods, see there's certain foods, you know, like vegetables and things like that you don't know, they don't have use by dates on them, certain foods. So it's being able to make their own judgment on when that food is starting to go off, just by colour and texture and things like that. So it has a lot of different elements to the programme. Mm-hmm. There's also an element of looking at budgeting and meal planning. So like looking what you already have in your cupboards, and not just going to the supermarket all the time. I'm sure most of us can say that we'd open up our freezer and there'd be plenty of food in there that we can make meals from. And I think people may be a bit nervous about being creative around food now, and not like everyone wants to follow recipes or go for meals that they're used to cooking. But the part of the program has a ready, steady, cook element, where the individual, the participants are given unknown foods, so foods that they don't know, and they have to create a meal around it.
Yeah.
Just to educate them and to give them confidence and being able to make meals up from foods that they really have.
And if you involve the children in that process where it's safe to do so as well,
exactly.
You know, it becomes really interesting. And we see measures like some supermarkets removing best before dates on milk. So in other words, you sniff it And if it's okay, you drink it, and if it's not, you don't. I mean, obviously within reason.
Yeah. Within reason, yeah. I think the use by date we do follow, but yeah, best.
But I think and it's estimated that it would save millions of litres of milk. Anyway, I think it's Tesco, did it? I don't know. As you say, or as Niamh said, Patricia, it's about sort of getting people involved in it and getting people sort of to understand these things, maybe to have a bit of confidence around their food.
Completely. And I mean, I think that's why we are hosting Sláinte Care Healthy Communities in Inishowen, because we are a local development company and we're already engaging with a myriad of people and individuals and groups and social enterprises, and we collaborate and partner with them all. So we make it much more accessible, and that it's available across the peninsula. So when healthy food made easy or the food waste is being offered, it's being offered out in smaller communities so that they have the same choices and the same opportunities, whether it's in Karamina, which the kitchen is the next one is going to be run in, or Moville or out in Malinhead. It means then that you have the same opportunities as anybody who wants to walk down the street in Letterkenny, for example.
Who can talk to me about the Food Cloud?
So the Food Cloud are a collaborative partner. We partner with DLDC on the Donegal Food Response, and there's now a partnership with the Food Cloud. And that's about taking food like vegetables.
They're doing a 12-week pilot project at the minute. They have a food hub in Letterkenny where they're distributing food, second-class vegetables is what they would say. So first-class vegetables would be vegetables that go to supermarkets, whereas the second-class vegetables could be wasted by farmers a lot of the time, or could be fed to animals.
They might not be aesthetically pleasing, but they're equally... They're delicious. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they might just be a different shape or size to what the supermarkets, what their criteria are. But vegetables are used and given out to food banks or food pantries and all of Donegal. The project is working really, really well. The food banks are delighted to have this produce coming through the door because it's fresh vegetables, and they're foods that people would be able to use and cook. And coming from my aspect of nutrition, like, these are really nutritious foods instead of processed foods coming through the food bank. It's a really good project that's happening.
Listen, there's an awful lot in there. So how can people get more information? Because we've just sort of, talked a little bit about the headlines of it. So how can people get more information, maybe sign up for the Zero Waste programme?
Yeah, they can contact me in the Inishowen Development Partnership. So they can call the office, or they can get me on neve@inishowen.ie. We have a programme starting in Karamina next Monday, and it's starting from 11 to 1 p.m. And we also have a programme in Muff Community Centre that is run at the minute. But we hope to have more programmes rolled out from January of next year.
Brilliant. It's fantastic. And it's great for people to get involved because it helps them, saves money, or